If you've been at St. Giles for just more than a few years, you know that periodically God brings along a prophet by the name of Brad Long, akin to John the Baptist, in that he's kind of a wild and crazy guy, and that the Lord's anointing is upon him, and at the right time and in the right way, he speaks into St. Giles' life. He's been here this weekend teaching and has been praying about what God would have him bring to you today. I think the Lord is ready to speak. He's prepared Brad's heart. In his day job, week to week, he leads a renewal ministry that has international reach into China and into Southern Asia and to Africa and England. He has been used by God to equip Christians to come into greater capacities to minister in the Spirit's power. He and his wife, Laura, have three adult children and five grandkids. Five grandkids. So, Brad.
It is so nice to be standing here. Can we turn it down slightly? Yeah. To be standing here in this pulpit. This place is very, very full of very happy memories for me. And I am so delighted to be able to be here. And I'm kind of overwhelmed, actually, because I remember going back 45 years almost. Yes. Makes me sound older. What happened in various locations here in this sanctuary of the moving of the Holy Spirit. And remember, celebrate long friendships in Jesus. And all these years, I want you to know that, yes, I have had the privilege of stepping in from time to time. And want you to know that I have prayed for you. I have prayed for your pastor, your church leaders. And I'm very grateful for this congregation. In fact, this ministry that I'm the executive director of and have been for 27 years, Presbyterian Reform Ministries International, would not exist, would not have been launched if it had not been for St. Giles Presbyterian Church and your leaders here, particularly Earl Morey, who helped launch PRMI. It was then called Presbyterian Charismatic Communion. And you provided the biblical teaching for this movement that has been a foundation that I have been able to build on for these last 27 years that I have been the executive director. And also, this was the place, brothers and sisters, where I was first introduced to the work of the Holy Spirit. When I was a seminary student at Union, and I would come here and was deeply impressed and disturbed all at the same time. And so I'm very grateful for this church. And I'm not here to just celebrate the past. I'm here to point us into what I believe the Lord is calling us into as we look to the future. Let me read to you some verses of Scripture. This is from Acts chapter 4, 23 through 31. And this is after the Church of Jesus Christ has gone through a period of rather intense persecution. They've gone through a terrible pruning period, a period of refinement, a period of persecution. And I'll be honest, I know your history very well. And you as a congregation have been through some times of pruning and refinement. And That's why I think the Lord led me to this verse, these chapters, or this text. So let's listen to the Word of God, and I'm reading from the New English Translation. When they were released, Peter and John went to their fellow believers and reported everything the high priest and elders had said to them. And when they heard this, they raised their voices to God with one mind and said, "Master of all, you who made heaven, the earth, the sea, and everything that is in them, who said by the Holy Spirit through your servant David, our forefather, why do the nations rage and people plot foolish things? The kings of the earth stood together, the rulers assembled together against the Lord, against the Christ. For indeed both Herod and Pontius Pilate, the Gentiles, and the people of Israel assembled together in this city against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed to do as much as your power and your plan had decided beforehand would happen." Now here's the key. Here's the key. "And now, Lord, pay attention to their threats and grant to your servants to speak your message with great courage while you extend your hand to heal, to bring about miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your servant Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together were shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God courageously. Wow. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Come, Holy Spirit, come and lead us now. Come and speak to us now through your word. And please, Lord, let us pray that prayer that those disciples prayed. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, I referred back to those. For many of us, I think a number of you were part of that. Those incredible days in 1960s, 70s, 80s. Well, much has happened. And much has happened not just here, but also in the world since then. Now, I look out at you, and I want to ask a kind of a personal question. Women don't need to answer. How many of you are over 50? Raise your hands again. In fact, stand up. Stand up. Over 50. You know, thank you. You can sit down. Okay, now look at us. I couldn't have done this 20 years ago. I couldn't have done this 25 years ago when I first came here. I have gray hair too. Okay. Now, as I look out at you, and isn't it kind of shocking sometimes to look in the mirror and see yourself? I look at myself and I say, how in the world did that happen? And people suggested I shave my beard or dye it black, you know, or brown. Others have suggested, why don't you just go ahead and dye your hair white to match? But it's been a shock to me. And when I look at you, look at myself, what do I say? Well, I'm 66 years old, and they're already talking in PRMI about when I need to retire. But you know what? I don't look out at you or myself as people who are retired or retiring or resting on our labors. But rather, I look out at you and I look at myself and my own position, my own role in this international ministry and this worldwide move of the Holy Spirit that I've been a part of for 27 years, actually more like 30 years. And I don't see God calling us into retirement. Rather, what I see is great maturity. I see great wisdom. I see balance. And I see spiritual resources. I see financial resources. I also see finally the leisure of time. I see that we're not busy raising our families, trying to make enough money, trying to get ourselves established. I see us as a launching pad. I see us as a foundation for the next great, possibly end time revival that God is moving in order to fulfill the Great Commission. People, I see us, you and me, and all those who are under 50, bless you, I'll talk to you next service. So just bear with me. But I see us as the key for those who can provide the support, the prayer, the love to launch the next great wave of the Spirit that many of you were part of 20, 30, 40 years ago. Now that role is not insured. That role is not insured. See, we're at that point in the movement where our role is to begin to step back. And if we don't do it voluntarily, generally the Holy Spirit, the Lord helps us by making it harder for us to get out of bed in the morning and makes it harder for us to have all the energy we used to have, makes it harder for me to get on airplanes, makes it harder for us to be quite as vigorous physically as we used to be. But what it is that we're in that wonderful phase, folks, brothers and sisters, of stepping back, not out until the Lord calls us home, not out, but stepping back so that others now may step into the anointing for their role in taking the torch and taking the mantle forward. The mantle of the Holy Spirit that has been on us. Okay? I think I'm probably preaching to myself here. I hope it includes you. In fact, I believe it includes each of you. Every one of you. Every one of us. Now, what's God doing now? What's God doing that requires our role and requires us to build a foundation? We built a foundation, folks. You've had great teaching here. You've had extraordinary teaching here. You've had extraordinary teachers here. You've had extraordinary anointed men and women of God as your pastors, as your leaders, as your elders. You've had an astonishing, rich heritage. You really have. That's amazing. And I want you to know that this has affected not just me personally, but you've had impact on the world church. You don't know that. But you have. Your example's going all over the world. So how is it now that you, and why do we need to be the launching pad for the next great move of God? Well, let's assess where we are. Let's assess what has happened. Well, I'm convinced that we are at the beginnings of another great wave of the Holy Spirit that's going to be bigger than, more extensive than the Pentecostal move of the Holy Spirit that started in 1906 and 1907. It's going to be more extensive than the charismatic renewal that you and I were so much a part of back in the 60s and 70s and 80s. It's going to be bigger than that. It's going to be bigger than, more important than, not more important, but more extensive than the third wave with John Wimber and the Vineyard Movement, all that kind of stuff. People, we are at the beginning of something extraordinary. And I travel all over the world and I'm seeing it happen. Here in America, in Canada, in United Kingdom, in Uganda, in Nigeria, Nicaragua, all over the world. All over the world. Now, I don't know a name for this. I don't know the name of it. Usually you name things in retrospect. This is too early. It may be the end time revival, but I don't know yet. None of us know yet. It may be the conclusion of the Great Commission. We don't know yet. But what I do know is that God is calling us to be a part of it. And none of it's going to happen unless we join. Unless we're a part. For those of us who are over 50, it may be providing the launching pad for the next generation. For the next generation, it's going to be another call for them. But what's the nature of this move of God that we're seeing happening? Well, first off, is that the focus is on Jesus Christ. The thing about this move of the Holy Spirit worldwide is it is centered in Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, the life, the only way to God the Father. There have been other revivals, other moves that focus maybe on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, other moves that focused on prophecy, other moves that have focused on restoring some aspect of the kingdom of God, like sanctification, like perfection, like growing in the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. Oh, that's wonderful. But the key thing about this move of the Spirit is it's all for Jesus. All for Jesus. That's not to say the other moves were not. They were. They were centered in Jesus. But there's something amazing that's happening in this. This Jesus is manifesting His presence, His life, His love all over the world through His people. And those churches, those movements that focused on other things are not going to be part of this great move of the Spirit. And there's something else. There's another aspect of this move of the Spirit. And that is unity. Jesus is fulfilling in this move of the Spirit His prayer for unity. Unity. He is bringing people a unity between the biggest division in the body of Christ, between Jews and Gentiles. People, we're in an astonishing time right now of the one new man, of Jews are coming to faith in Yeshua, in Jesus. And we are being brought back together in an astonishing way. Now, but this unity is beyond that. The unity is also happening between races of African American Christians, white Christians, Asian Christians. What are we doing? We're moving together in a unity of the Spirit. That's the second characteristic. And it's actually happening. It's actually happening. Third thing that's happening is that this is by Thy Spirit. You see, 3,000 years ago, in the book of Zechariah, God presented to us His kingdom plan. He said that there are two ways you can be the church. You can fulfill my mission. You can advance the kingdom. It's either by thy Spirit, by his Holy Spirit, or in power and might. In power and might, Christianity, or Judaism, is doing stuff in our own strength. Whereas by thy Spirit, Christianity is doing it in the power of the Holy Spirit. Right now, in the world today, there's a great setting aside going on. There's a great division taking place. And it's between power and might and by thy Spirit, Christians. By thy Spirit, Christians are part of the great move of God and are part of this wave that's taking place. By power and might, who've trusted simply in our structures, our education, and our wonderful buildings, which are beautiful, folks. I don't want to ever lose these. But you know what? You know what? That's not where the revival is. It's taking place among those and being fulfilled by those in power, and I mean, by thy Spirit. Now, there's one other thing. There's one other aspect about this movement. And it's evangelistic, and it's connected to missions. You see, the moment you touch the heart of God, the moment you touch Jesus' heart, what happens? You are swept up into his heart, which includes the whole world. So what that means is you're going to be called to take part in advancing the gospel. Now, you're probably wondering why I read this scripture. Why did I? The reason I read this scripture is because in it is a diagnosis of where we are right now and the solution. You see, as the Holy Spirit's moving, as this great wave is moving, Satan is also moving. Satan is in a rage right now. He is pulling out the stops to destroy the Church of Jesus Christ, to destroy those nations, those people who are the means through whom Jesus is advancing his kingdom, like the United States. He is in a rage against the Jewish people. He is in a rage against Christians. And he is working through powerful strongholds to destroy the church. We are in an extraordinarily dangerous time of the rise of radical Islam. And many of us had the terrible experience of watching what happened in Charlottesville. You know what happened in Charlottesville? There was the revelation of powerful demonic strongholds that Satan is unleashing, growing right now. You know, it's the first time since 1935 in the streets of Berlin that we have seen two terrible ideologies clashing. The KKK, racism, Nazism, and the radical left with symbols of the workers of the world unite. Where have you heard that? Where have you heard that? What we saw in Charlottesville is a harbinger of what's coming to our nation of racial hatred and division. Unless it is stopped. That's just one glimpse, people. We are in a serious position right now. Now, let me get to the conclusion. Let me get to where I believe, and I submit this to you, where I believe God is calling us to be a part. It is that we're called to pray the prayer that those disciples prayed. We're called to be the launching pad for the next great wave of the Spirit that will overcome the racial hatred with unity, the race stuff we saw in Charlottesville. We will overcome the evils of Islam, radical Islam. We will overcome the evil that we're seeing rising in the world. We will constrain North Korea, threatening nuclear annihilation. We will be a part of this. As we pray, and this is the invitation, this is the call. As we pray, like they did, now, Lord, pay attention to their threats. And grant to your servants to speak your message with great courage. You see? Do you hear what that's saying? It's saying, Lord, pay attention, please. This is dangerous. And he is. And it's also the invitation that we will speak God's word. We will act. We will obey. And then, here's the conclusion. It says, while you extend your hand to heal, to bring about miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Right there. Did you hear the word while? You see, the way that we get to the end of this, which was the place being shaken, them all being filled with Spirit, them all witnessing and being part of the launch pad, being part of the advance of the kingdom, being part of the great move of the Spirit, was while we're praying, while we're asking God to empower us, what did they do? They stepped out in obedience. They stepped out, and it was as they stepped out, that is when they experienced the power of God moving in signs and wonders, and there was a great shaking. People, I believe that great shaking is going to be coming here. Right here at St. Giles. Just as there was a great shaking almost 40 years ago. There is another great shaking in the works, and we are going to see signs and wonders. We're going to see signs and wonders if we don't miss it. And the way we don't miss it is to be on our faces in prayer saying, Lord, empower us and help us, enable us to be your witnesses and bring us into the river. And when you do, you will be the launch pad for the next great wave of the Spirit that's already happening. You'll be a part of it. And you'll see the next generation take up the mantle. And you will see this place shaken, but also the world. And Jesus will be glorified. Let's pray, okay? Lord, pay attention to the threats. Pay attention, Lord. What we saw in Charlottesville is horrifying. What we see in our culture is disturbing. What we see in our world upsets us and frightens us. Lord, grant to us, your servants, to speak your message with great courage. And Lord, as we do this, as we are faithful, extend your hand. Move in healing ministry. Move in deliverance ministry. Move in ministries of compassion. Move in breaking down the strongholds of evil. Bring miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Amen. Amen.